Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Thursday, y'all. It's a Thursday. What it do? Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
What's happening? What's
How are happening? Our fiancés today?
What it do? What going on?
I did give our number out last night.
What do you mean?
Someone was like, what's the text number?
Oh.
I gave our number out and they put it in their phone as News with My Fiance. Yep.
Yo. Okay, the hilarity of that is like, it just pops in like, oh, I want to text the show. And it's like someone else's show.
It's going to be Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Not us at all.
Friday night. So I was thinking, I don't know if you guys just saw this. Biden made a pretty controversial statement.
That'd be really cool. We'd miss it completely.
Completely.
We would not see it.
For anyone that's, we don't have like a.
There's no alert system.
Yeah.
That's like, this one's for you. This text has your name on
it. Right. Does it get marked that way?
No.
No. Not at all. Not at all. Morning, y'all.
How are we today? I'm not my best. Mm. But I'm not my worst either, so, you know.
You're here, though.
I believe people say fair to middling.
I'm sorry, what? I've never heard that.
Really?
Fair to middling?
Fair.
Fair to yeah. middling.
Like, you know, I'm all right.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Okay, where does that phrase come from, fiancés? Why have fair I heard it and Ambush hasn't?
Maybe it's just a Pacific Northwest thing.
Pretty sure it's not.
Oh.
I think it's more like a Midwest thing or something. Oh, okay. Or like a, you know.
And it leaked over this way.
Yeah.
Caught a little bit of it.
I do not know the etymology of this, though. I don't, to be clear. I am absolutely making a guess.
Went straight to the spelling bee. I do not know the etymology.
I just want to be clear. I don't, I want nobody.
No smoke.
Exactly.
Right. For those that might know.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, good morning, high energy crew. JK, no energy detected.
Thank you. That is an accurate assessment. We're pushing through. We're pushing through, Shell.
No energy detected is like the funniest shot ever.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Bruh.
Like a little meter. It's broken.
Just no energy detected. None whatsoever. Can it be a Scientology meter, though?
Alethiometer, what are they called?
E-meter? E-meter.
I actually, I feel bad for doing that. The alethiometer is from the Golden Compass. Chill out.
Oh, my word.
No slander for the Golden Compass. I love it. I'm doing my dance.
He's doing his dance right now.
I can't remember the name of the show on HBO. That was the... What's the name of it?
Oh, with Lin-Manuel.
Yeah.
That's honestly the only thing I remember. I mean,
Daniel Craig's in it, too.
I didn't watch it, so.
Yeah.
But I know you did.
I loved it. I love it. Oh, I love it so much. I can't remember this another season or not. That was so good. Anyways, yes. I love that shirt. I love that idea of Scientology meters on it.
No energy detected.
No energy detected.
Well, I'm working on the merch, guys, so, you know.
It's looking pretty spiffy, I'll tell you that.
Figure out how to add that in there.
I'll tell you that. It's looking pretty spiffs.
We're almost done.
Yeah.
It's taken me a very long time. Maybe that's why I don't have any energy. Unsure, it's Michelle. Unsure.
It's because she's making candles from scratch. That's right. We're getting using my fiance candles. And I don't know. I just do that.
I was like, oh, did we have a discussion that I have forgotten about already?
I mean, you're running a coven, so you kind of need candles.
This is not wrong. I mean, we haven't started it, to be clear. You know, we just know that there are a couple people that would join.
Yes. We got another text. Good morning, fiancés. Y'all are the high point of my week, Robin. Thank you, Robin.
Robin.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you. I love the rings in there, too.
I know.
I try and use the rings every time I do something and forget about it half of the time. Yeah. Anyway.
Are you
Here comes Ambush yawning into the mic again.
I backed away. I was going to ask you if you're proud of me for doing that, but apparently not.
I am proud of you. I just,
they're contagious. And I pass it off to you. It's kind of like, you know, breakdancing. I do a little worm, hand you a yawn.
Okay, but so when I call you Ray Gun, it's a problem. But you won't bring up breakdancing.
Interesting. Is there anyone else you could have possibly called me?
No.
Really? That's the only breakdancer you know.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay, so I think both...
Olympics, you know? What am I supposed to know? The people that didn't make it to the Olympics?
Go away.
Okay.
Never in your life of lies refer to me as Raythea Gunn, please. Raythea. Okay. No, not at all.
Okay.
That clown.
Here I go again.
Yeah, here you go. There you go again.
Wow. Well, it's starting. It's starting the cool down.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting the gray down, and I am here for it. Fiancés.
When you said the gray down, I was lost for a second there, but now I get it.
Yeah, I didn't know what to... Should it,
the gray up.
I almost said that and was like, I don't know if this makes... I don't know if either one of them... Up. I don't know if either one of them makes sense, yeah. You know? It makes sense, right? It's gray outside. I'm ready for some... I'm ready for some actual rain so that that barometric pressure can stop being weird.
Man.
Because it keeps doing the, oh, we'll just rain a little bit and then have some sun breaks or whatever. I don't know.
Bruh.
And it's blowing my head up. So I've had it. Let's just be gray for a little bit.
Like, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. No, thank you.
In other non-breaking news, my nose piercing closed in 2 days. Can someone please tell me how? Why? Why would that happen?
It
is not a new piercing. It's a it's old. 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
4 years. I wanted to change my nose ring. I took it out. Went to put the new one in. Forgot to put the new one in. Like, had to leave or something. Mm-hmm. 2 days. I go to put it back in. Closed. Is this right?
Mutant healing factor. I've already had this discussion with her. Why she's choosing to relive this, you know, to put it to you guys as if she didn't already get an expert opinion.
Oh,
I don't know, you know, but here we are. Anybody else got any opinions?
I want to go back to the first text that says no energy. I don't have the energy for this ambush.
Fine.
Yes, you have told me that it's a mutant healing ability, but I find issue with that because there's so many other things that don't heal so quick, you know?
It's very specific to your face.
It is. I mean, that one is.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
We don't always get the powers we want.
But does the power work equally across a body or just only on a nose?
Sometimes, you know. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. That's what people got to understand.
Okay, this is not
You got well. The comics, you got the MCU, which is the 616, and then you got real life, bro. And it's not always going to turn out the way we expect it to.
Oh, so the MCU is propaganda.
I probably wouldn't have used that word, but I guess in this case, it's kind of accurate. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes your mutant ability is like a third ear in your armpit. That no one asked for it. It doesn't do anything.
But does it do something?
Oh. It might, you know, during certain circumstances.
Just pull that out.
It's a dice roll.
Pull that ear out of your armpit.
Yeah.
And you can hear
and you got the an ground. Ear pit. You know, it's a dice roll every single
Did you
time.
See you have an ear pit?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's actually, we should probably not do the show today.
It may wait for Tom Hartman early.
Wolverine, but just on the nose. Ross.
This is what I'm saying. Ross be knowing. Okay. Ross knows what I'm talking about.
But it's not a thing. Ross knows? That, oh, you got look it the at first you. Time? Okay. Look at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well.
She's very upset. That's out. Her abilities are manifesting. She is not with it at
I'm
all.
I'm not pleased. Can, okay, so the real question is can I just like work that hole through? Like, can I just like re-pierce?
Oof.
Oof. Or do I have to go get it pierced?
Oof. Please go get it pierced. I feel like if you re-pierce, you run the risk of infection.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the else? Last thing. Ooh. You said, and what else?
Yeah,
that's
not good no, because your face looks like there's a lot of things wrong with this idea.
Oh, man, getting an infection there, and how difficult that be for your breathing, it's the pain and the throbbing. Ugh, I don't want that for you.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody told me that a nose piercing was not that painful, and they lied. And by that healing, I don't really want to go through that again.
So maybe... Because it's only been a short amount of time, hurry up and do it now as opposed to wait like 2 weeks and be like, okay,
oh, now
fine.
It's all the way.
Right.
Because I can get it in a little bit. It's
yeah.
It's just closed at the bottom.
Yeah. I could check it out. We'll hit Claire's. Is that still a thing?
Is Claire's doing nose piercings with a gun? Like, is that?
They ever did that?
I don't know. I got my ears pierced at Claire's right. when I was a kid.
Yeah, you know, Claire's nationwide getting the piercings going.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Did the gun scare any of you who, if you have gotten your ears pierced by a ear piercing gun?
I think there's like a cattle
crowd. It like so. Doesn't hurt. It was the sound of it.
Was it like air?
Scared me so bad when I was like, I think I was like 10 or 11 or something when I got my ears pierced. And I was like, I'm not doing the other one.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
This is fine.
I'll have the one.
I'll just have the one.
I'm a pirate.
And my mom was like, well, absolutely not. And I was like, well, you can't make me do this. I don't know why you think that you have control in this situation.
My body, my choice, mom.
Bruh. Like, she did bribe me, though. So.
What is she, I can't remember this story. What did she bribe you with?
She got me a very specific Hawaiian Barbie, and it was my own Barbie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, so you got the one ear pierced, it was like, not doing it, and she said, hey, get the second one, I'll get you the Hawaiian Barbie.
Pretty much.
And then you and then you swallowed your tears. And
yes. Was like,
Hawaiian Barbie on the table.
On the table? All right, go ahead and do the other one.
What's so funny is I literally could see you like deliberating your head for 3.7 seconds. Okay, let's go. From a hard no, from an absolutely not.
It was absolutely not. And she tried to do the, well, Morgan, you know, you'll look like a boy. Like, you'll have one. That was like, okay. Seems fine with me.
Totally fine with me. Like, Bob, some of my best friends are boys.
Yeah. So. Like, what do you want from me, lady? It's fine. Me and my Batman t-shirt are going to be just fine right now.
Yeah, we're good. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
She had to bribe me in. She tried to go the route, too, of like, I don't know that your grandma would be okay with this. And I was like, I'm sure she wouldn't.
It won't be the first time I've disappointed her.
Absolutely going to tell her it's your fault.
Oh, my God. So, okay, so you get the second ear pierced.
See, someone said black hole, not Claire's, though. So I do remember black hole. I'm trying to think of the name where I got my nose pierced. It was downtown somewhere and not Claire's.
Right. Just don't. Yeah. You hit them all. So then you got the second one. Boom.
Not as scary.
All right.
Yeah.
Because there was a trophy on the other end of that tunnel.
And it had happened.
Right.
Like, I kind of knew what to expect. Yeah. So I thought that it was pain, the first one.
It was just noise.
But it was the noise.
Yeah.
And so on the second one, I was like, oh, okay. Man, that thing's really loud. It scared the mess out of but Jesus, I believe is the word.
And then it's like, okay, did you guys go instantly to the toy store?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, we're not leaving here without that Barbie. Let's go.
Hawaiian Barbie now.
Yeah.
And how'd you feel when you had it in your hand?
Pretty great. I'm trying to remember her name. That started with an M.
Okay.
Wow. But she had really long, like, brown hair and a blue Hawaiian little outfit. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Loved her.
Look at that.
That was my, I think, maybe my only Barbie. And part of that was, like, I didn't really play with Barbies. But right. my best friend had every Barbie and all the Barbie things. And, like,
you need to be able to have a Barbie to participate.
I wanted to come over with my own. Yeah. You know? I didn't want to have to play always.
Your Barbie.
Yeah.
Your Barbies are yours.
Exactly.
I get it. If, same thing if I was younger, you know, when I was younger. Transformers.
You're going to need your own.
I need my own Joes.
Yeah.
Need my own Joes.
You guys bring your Joes together.
Yeah. But if
not,
we have
Morgan
some of,
comes over empty handed and plays Barbies with Angela, you know?
If we have some of the same Joes, I put my Joes away. So my Storm Shadows get mixed up with yours. Yeah.
I like the priorities here.
Yeah. I don't know what you've done to that. Yeah. Because then. Because they
don't know
used
what
to snap.
You've done to that.
Yeah, the rubber band. Because there's kids that used to twist their Joes all the way around, and then let it go so it could spin back around. But there's a rubber band that holds the top and the bottom together, and you put an extra stress on that rubber band. And once that pops, then what? How are you going to replace it?
Do you Joes in two pieces.
Yeah, then you got to do Joe surgery.
And that is when your medical professional career started.
Boom. Talk to me.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Well, today. The what do we call it? The laughs at, or the joking and gigs?
S and gigs. The S and gigs.
The did S we talk about gigs. This Monday or?
I don't
Thursday.
Believe we did.
No, it had to be. No, we did.
I
think
talk about it on Monday.
At least we planned to.
I feel like we closed the. We talked. Interesting. We talked about it in the house. Saying or it was no we talked about it on Monday as we're packing up and we were having a discussion about, you know, introducing our listeners to Andrew Schultz, some who may or may not know who Andrew Schultz is. And yeah, that whole situation, and we talked about it a little
Andrew bit. Schultz is supposed to be a comedian. Feel free to text in to say yes, you know him, no you don't. I'm not going to judge you. No, I'm lying. I was going to say, I'm not going to judge you if you think he's funny.
Oh.
But yeah, I'd be lying if I said that. Andrew Schultz, and to be clear, I don't really judge.
I don't really care that much. I do.
Andrew Schultz is a stand-up comedian. He's got, you know, like a Netflix special or two.
Yep.
I was introduced to Andrew Schultz via Charlemagne the God, which is accidental in all ways. Everything I know about Charlemagne, everything he does is against my will.
It's never researched.
It comes to my face. Yeah. I never asked for it. Yeah. But they had a podcast, The Brilliant Idiots. I don't know if it's still happening. Probably. Don't know. Don't care.
In some form, somewhere, you know, some irregularity is probably still happening.
Right. But Andrew Schultz has his own show called Flagrant. And we did talk about this because
Andrew Dice Clay.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. So yeah, sorry for any repeat here, but he is the, everything's, if it's a joke, then no one could be offended because funny.
Right. And also because it's offensive, it's obviously funny.
Right. And if you don't think it's funny, you're obviously
not in the car.
A lady.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to joke with the boys.
You don't know what funny is.
Don't know what funny is. He does a lot of misogyny and racist jokes. He is very much like from the, what I call incel comedians, like the no ma'ams. You just, you really hate women and you can't articulate why. So they're just B's and H's that can't, you know, do anything without being hysterical or something. I don't know. We're just crying at every point of the day.
Right.
A different podcast by the name of S and Gigs, which that's not it, but I think it's point.
S being an expletive.
Expletive and Gigs, like giggles. Mm-hmm. Two British black men from British black men from London, but they are they were on like a American tour.
Yeah, US tour.
US tour. Did a few different podcasts. Did this show. Don't know if James and Fuhad, the ones from that podcast, don't know if they know Andrew Scholes the way that some of us do. There are plenty of Americans that don't know who Andrew Scholes is and why he is problematic.
Right.
One of the, you may have been introduced to him by one Joe Rogan too, you know, like that. Right. He frequents that circle. Ugh.
Yeah.
They went on the show. Andrew Scholes did some racist jokes, one of which being about how Black women steal men's hairlines.
Like that. Through stress.
Yes, yeah. Through stress. Like, we just stressing you out at all times. Making men go bald. Mm-hmm.
And also, Black men grow beards to shield us against slaps.
Right, because we are physically violent.
Yes,
as well. Women. We are slapping you in the face.
That's why we grow beards.
Self-protection.
Self-protection, hide the bruises, things of that nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Yeah.
The boys laughed. The boys were uncomfortable. You could tell they were like, oh, ha, 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 ha. But they didn't say anything. They didn't stop him. They right. did not go, hey, bro, that's really not funny. This is racist. Like, none of the. So they're getting dragged for not speaking up, which we can talk about another moment. Mm-hmm. Because for me, this is an Andrew Scholes problem. This is not a James and Fuhad problem. Now, I do think it is a problem if you are going on to known racist shows. And to be clear, Andrew Scholes, this is how he like clouds himself with Black and brown people. So there's a Black man, there's an Indian man, and there's a white man on his show. And so everything's just joking with the boys. Everything right. is just, we are having a good old time doing all the kikis and ha-has.
How could I possibly be racist? Look at my panel of friends. United Colors of Benetton right here. that's how he treats it. Sincerely how he treats it. And those men that are on that podcast with him, I would dare say, in their own communities, aren't held in very high esteem.
Woo!
And I just say that from the type of jokes that they too crack on that show.
And right laugh out, at.
And laugh at. It's just like, okay, cool. This is where you are because this is where you decided to be.
Yeah, you've made a choice that you're going to run with the idea. And this is a thing that a lot of younger men will do. No matter, but all across the spectrum of Black, brown. I'm going to not pay attention to racism because if I pay attention to it, then it's there. And if I don't, then it's not.
If you don't feed it, you don't have to worry about it.
Right. And so if you don't get offended by things, then isn't that anti-racism? Didn't get offended, so it's not racist anymore.
Right.
That whole thing is just like a... There is a humongous misunderstanding about what racism even means, but that's a concerted effort. But the surface level, basic, like, I'm just going to live here on the surface and not pay any attention to any of that stuff, mm-hmm. Opens you up to a lot of anti whatever you are, whatever identifiers, whatever, you know, helps shape your life. It's mm-hmm. anti, it ends up being anti that, and you are just like living in it. And at some point, you don't like it anymore. Yeah. So, you know, that's right. how these kind of podcasts don't last forever. But James and Fuhad apologized. They said, yo, fight or flight is real. You think you're going to do certain things in certain situations, and sometimes you're just in shock. Sometimes you just don't even know what to do, and you just want to move on.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do. We just wanted to move on. We were totally shocked, blah, blah, blah. That seemed like a decent thing to me. I seemed that was a reasonable response and apology to me.
It was to me as well.
It felt very true.
It lined up with what we thought we were seeing in the video, their level of discomfort.
Yep.
And kind of being not necessarily caught up in the moment, but just like caught off guard. Yep. And, you know, not really knowing how to play that on camera and, you know, on the mic. So I remember us definitely saying like, ooh, they look like they're not really knowing how to handle this. So mm-hmm. the apology sounded, it lined up with what we thought we saw. Unfortunately, it was not accepted by the great majority. And whilst in the midst of it, not really having time to be up there to have full analysis, mm-hmm. they went ahead and snatched it down.
They snatched it down for a couple of reasons, though. So people are like, ah, that apology's whack. But also Andrew Schulz and his crew spend 20 minutes on it and making fun of them for apologizing, saying that their producer asked for certain that show, but they never asked about the black woman jokes. And so I don't know what their problem is, kind of thing.
You guys making such a big deal about it now.
Yeah, like you had the opportunity for no one to know this happened. And here we are. Wasn't that big of a deal to you then? So are you even really sorry?
Yeah.
And I think it's I have my thoughts. My number one thought is that Andrew Schulz did that on purpose, had them come to his show to mess with the competition. Like, it is just another dude broke podcast. And he put them in peril.
And I like that framing of making it a dude bro, of classifying it as a dude bro podcast, because then it makes your theory even that more salient.
Solid.
That was more solid. Because not only is James of Ohio's show a dude bro podcast, another dude yeah. bro podcast, it's the exact opposite of what Andrew Schulz is doing. Like,
yeah,
it was refreshing to see two black men on this podcast in the UK cracking some hilarious jokes, but also being pro women and pro trans and just like super non-problematic.
Yeah.
And it was like, yo, like this, I really rock with these dudes.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize they entered enemy territory, not just in thought.
Yeah.
But that Andrew Schulz was like, oh, nah, these dudes are comp.
Yeah.
And they are preaching and having casual conversations and are building steam on an audience that would hates my content.
Yeah.
Yep. I need them up out of here.
Which is interesting to me because we got different markets is, I guess, where I'm going. Like, the crossover, is there crossover? Sure.
Sure.
That crossover doesn't mean they don't listen to you.
Right.
Like, that's not what crossover means. So they're still listening to you. The other people that you are looking for are not interested in your content from their audience.
Right.
So to me, it seems like a weird, you know, why need to eliminate that competition or try to eliminate that competition? But I am also not a power hungry, wild person with a World War II haircut.
An inglorious bastard, if you will.
That's it.
Haters gonna hate. So, right, we did talk about this on the Monday show. We brought it back because of that update of the Flagrant Boys responding and reacting to the apology. And it just, like you said, it kind of brought everything into frame. Like, oh, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys got set up and taken out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how effective this, you know.
I don't think by much.
Yeah. I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have on Essence gigs. But
in the long run, I think that they will. The longer that Andrew Schulz's name is attached to it, excuse me, the more that the public is like, wait, so was that big of a deal?
Right.
For on them? Or right. is that on Andrew?
Yeah.
And it's on Andrew.
If Andrew leaves it alone and then lets the internet have it, it could be more effective than him trying to keep going at them, because then it exposes more
then
people
you
to,
are being a bully.
Yeah. And it exposes more people to who you are.
Right.
People who didn't know. And it's like, oh, well, that's all this guy does is just take shots and, oh, well.
Who wants this?
Yeah. But I do think it was a huge mistake in them
taking
the apology down. Just should be following up with more apologies.
Yeah.
Like, just be apologies on apologies.
So before we jump into a music break, let's run down what we're going to chat about.
Definitely. And also shout out to our fair city. Right quick, just got announced that we're getting a WNBA team. First time in 20 years out to Strong. I'm excited. MJ is not so excited.
I've been around for the two that we had, and I've been around for the disinvestment that happens immediately, and the immediate, very tiny investment that happens in the beginning to even get it started. And so, you know,
you got to see it.
I'm leery.
You gotta wait and see. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
I really want to be excited, and I love the WNBA, and I want a WNBA team.
Yeah. You don't want a trend.
I don't want a what?
A trend. You don't want to be dabbled with, trifled with. If you're going to have a team, let's have a team.
I want the WNBA to be taken seriously. I want them to treat that like a league that matters. I want those athletes to be treated like the athletes that they are. It is an exploitative venture in the first place. Because it's flat out like you don't make as much money as the men in the NBA because you don't garner enough attention. But I wonder what that has to do with, you know? Is it just that people don't want to see ladies play basketball? Or is it that you put zero investment into making it a game that people could even come to and enjoy?
Right.
So, I mean, again, that is exciting news. And also, you know, I'm interested to know who is attached to that. I'm interested to know what kind of money is going into it. You need millions and millions and millions of dollars to build a professional team.
Right.
And if you have a $100,000 budget, it ain't going nowhere.
Well, I will say the climate's a little different this time around. It's different. I've never seen this level of energy around the league, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully, what we get this time isn't going to be what we got in the past. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Fingers and toes crossed for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So shout out
to our fair city. In other local news, we'll be talking about the most important thing happening in downtown Portland.
Daggone right.
The Thompson Elk Fountain Restoration. And I know that you are like, Morgan.
Where's that elk been?
Where has that elk been?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the project is over budget and behind schedule. For the elk that we decided as a city we didn't need anymore. Collectively said maybe spending the millions of dollars to replace that is not what we should do. Maybe because there's a lot of people that are living next to it. Instead of inside of a home.
I just could never imagine that was $1 million worth of work. You know, maybe slide some of that over to the WNBA budget. And in national news, I know you guys have all been waiting for it. Did he? You know he did. The judge denies Diddy's bail request, citing danger to witnesses and the community.
Well, when you have proven to witness tamper already.
Right.
The judge might just be like, you're going to have to do that from jail, sir. And so we can listen to those phone calls.
The judge just might be like, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
All right.
Got it.
I know you are. Thank you.
Jail.
Thank you.
And an Ohio sheriff sparks outrage after urging residents to, and get this one, hold on to your hats, track Harris Walz supporters. You see that lawn sign, you let me know. Me, the sheriff. You tell me where that lawn sign is.
Give me the address for that house.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Lively show. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show.
Give me some energy, you know, in this music break. Because Michelle said I don't have any today.
And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
That's me, DJ Ambush. Oh.
join the show. Join the conversation.
Tech Squad fam. DJ Ambush.
DJ Ambush.
That's me.
That was hilarious.
On the ones and the twos.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah.
All right. So
I want to talk about Diddy.
All right. I think the people want to hear you talk about
that. Can we just jump right into Diddy?
Jump into the diddler? Let's do it.
Dirty Diddy LLC.
Oh, boy.
Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs will remain in jail after a judge on Wednesday rejected his request to await trial in his Florida mansion instead of a federal jail in Brooklyn. U.S. District Judge Andrew L. Carter ruled that Combs' proposal, which included a $50 million bail offer, GPS monitoring, and strict visitor limits, was insufficient to ensure community safety and the integrity of the case. Judge Carter agreed with prosecutors who argued that no conditions of release could prevent Combs from potentially threatening or harming witnesses, a key concern in this case. Combs, who pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges, has been in custody since his arrest on Monday. The indictment against the 54-year-old accuses him of using his power and prestige to coerce victims into participating in drug-fueled sexual performances known as freak-offs.
Unbelievable.
How many times have you heard those two words together in the last
72 hours? Oh my gosh.
Which he arranged, participated in, and recorded. The indictment details a years-long pattern of abuse, including blackmail, violent acts to silence victims, such as kidnapping, arson, and physical assaults. Prosecutors allege that Combs intimidated accusers and witnesses, citing text messages in which he threatened to leak videos of the sexual encounters. Emily Johnson, the prosecutor, argued that Combs' history of violence, including a 2016 incident where he assaulted R&B singer Cassie, demonstrates that he is a danger to the community. Combs is a danger to the community and poses a serious risk to the integrity of the case, Johnson said. Combs' attorney, Mark, I don't know how to pronounce that.
I think it's Agnifilio.
There you go. Had sought out to have his client released under house arrest at his luxurious Florida mansion on Star Island, one of the most exclusive neighborhoods in the United States.
Mm.
The plan would have limited visitors to family and non-co-conspirators, which, you know, write that down.
How does one determine that in such a wide sweeping case?
However, Carter denied this request, leaving Combs in the Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center, a facility known for its overcrowding and poor conditions. I like when reports add that in about jail as if every jail isn't that.
Right.
Like this one's especially bad.
Oh, yeah.
The allegations in this criminal case mirror those from a November lawsuit filed by Cassie, whose legal name is Cassandra Ventura, which was settled a day after it was filed. Combs' attorney argued that the criminal case stems from a troubled but consensual relationship between Combs and Ventura, disputing claims of coercion. However, prosecutors say the scope of Combs' alleged crimes extends far beyond that relationship, involving more than 50 victims and witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors also detailed a raid on Combs' home in March where authorities seized narcotics, firearms, and over 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant. Now, I know that you're asking, how many of the 1,000 was baby oil? How many lubricant? We don't know that part.
We have yet to gain that information.
We just know that there were more than 999 bottles there. If convicted on all charges, Combs could face a mandatory 15-year prison sentence with the possibility of life behind the bars.
Let me ask you something. As a Kid Cudi fan, do you feel a level of vindication, a level of retribution, righteous retribution, when you see that the arson charges are also in this indictment?
It makes me happy that the arson charges are in it.
Yeah.
You know, as a non-carceral person, I struggle with all of this. Yeah. However,
you blew up
Kid Cudi's car.
You blew up Kid Cudi's car, bro. You threatened to do so and then you did it.
Because he liked the woman you no longer were dating. And then you like kidnapped her.
That'll learn you.
So.
I wonder what happened to Ryan Leslie's career.
Sean Puffy Combs. Dirty Flat Diddler out. LLC. Flat out.
Hey, y'all. Don't buy any more beats from this guy. Shut it down.
I mean, the industry. Come on.
That's
exactly rough. What happened. He that was dating Cassie rough. First, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
that's super rough.
Which also I'm going to have questions about because Ryan Leslie is not a spring chicken either. And so when she was 19, he was not 19.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that guy. Anyway, Diddy is out here. He's been doing the most since the beginning.
Yeah.
And the question marks at this point are less about the heinous acts happening, the sex trafficking, the physical violence.
Right.
They are doing a racketeering case.
Yeah.
Based on potentially, you know, money laundering, misappropriation of funds. Are you paying for the freak off with, you know, the bad boy money?
Yeah.
Are you paying for, are the runners that work for bad boy doing some of these things? Are the people that work at Justin's restaurants, are they doing some, setting up
right
the freak off?
Right.
And that's the problem. Well, many a problem in this story. But one of the problems is that in order to do as much harm as he has done, you have to have people around you cleaning it up.
Yeah.
There have to be other hands involved. It's not just one person making bad decisions.
And not just cleaning it up, setting the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are responsible for booking these hotels,
set
booking
up these flights,
down. providing transportation.
I mean, these are events.
They're events.
So there's full event work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And that takes a team.
Yeah.
And that team of people knows what the event that they're setting up is.
Yeah. And they're getting paid from friends from Bad Boy ENT. Like, there's no separate LLC for the freak-offs. So
no, but it should be called Dirty Diddy LLC.
Yeah. He didn't set up Dirty Diddy LLC.
Had he set up Dirty Diddy LLC and paid people from Dirty Diddy LLC, this would still not be great.
But it'd be a weaker case.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild. Just like if you've seen that video of him and Cassie in the hotel hallway / elevator, if you've seen that, your view of Sean Combs has to change.
And it should also affect your view of the justice system, because we saw that based on not a criminal charge or criminal trial, but a civil one.
Hello.
Because of the statute of limitations of him actually being able to be charged for what we saw in that video. So basically, the laws are set up in a way that, yeah, we all can agree this was a horrible thing, but look how long ago that was.
He's clearly obviously changed.
Do we still hang on to that? That was so long ago.
So the person I gave our number to last night. Good morning, Captain, my captain. Did a hashtag, itty bitty diddy. Which is perfect. Oh, good morning, God. James.
Like, for real.
I mean, it's absolutely insane what he was able to get away with, the amount of people that were in on the deal, the amount of people that are being sort of exposed for just being around that behavior. There's, you know, like Don Richards, I think.
Yeah.
Richard. I heard that yesterday.
I've been hearing it all week, and I'm like, is this how we're supposed to be saying her name?
I watched Making the Band. This entire time, they were saying her name wrong?
Quite possibly. We all were saying Rihanna for quite some time.
That's true. Yikes. Okay, Richard. Dawn from Danity Kane. She has now filed a lawsuit alleging sexual abuse and physical abuse. And what was my point of that? Oh, within her filing that, there's a story that there was a dinner, Sean Combs, Diddy, Love, whatever you call him, Puff Daddy. He slapped or punched or...
Punched.
He punched Cassie in the face in front of Dawn, Neo,
and Usher.
A one Usher Raymond, if you will. And I gotta believe someone like Usher, who has been a part of this industry since he was like 12 and spent a lot of time with Diddy as a minor, I know that there's gotta be some trauma and stuff there all on its own.
Absolutely.
And there's gotta be some learned behavior that is harmful.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, these are his father figures. These are his industry uncles, industry pop-pops. These are, you know, his industry elders that he looks up to. So it's not just Puff, it's also Russell Simmons.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But to be, yes, absolutely what you're saying. And I believe that Puff was like his guardian for a while.
Yeah,
just like he was for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like actual guardian.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, there's no way you come out of that unscathed.
Right.
Absolutely no way.
So there's a lot there. Being in a position of seeing a couple argue is a uncomfortable thing. Physical violence, I don't know how that happens and then everyone just like keeps eating dinner.
Well, what we're finding out, and at least for me, and maybe, I don't know, I want to speak for everybody, is that Puff has been far more dangerous for a lot longer than I would have ever known.
Okay, that's
fair. There was a lot of times, like, again, I graduated high school in 94. Puff has been a joke for decades in the way that he surrounds himself with the tough guys, wants to be this tough guy, wants to be this super talented person, and he surrounds himself with the people that he wants to, you know, the energy that he wants to project.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to all of us on the outside in the consumerverse out here, mm-hmm. Puff not only hangs around dangerous people,
but is
quite often the most dangerous person in the room.
Yeah.
And that was just like, my mind was blown, like, wait, what? Oh, he's not in the gym to look cool and to, kind of give off this machismo. No, he's putting in these reps because he's very physical.
He's going to pick you up and bench press.
Yeah, like I've seen, you know, videos of him, you know, smashing stuff off his desk and throwing tantrums. And yeah, all of that is just, but again, all this really exposes is how well he is truly hidden that side of his persona. Truly hidden it. Even in plain sight when we're seeing the tantrums, it's like, here Puffy is going off again. And ain't nobody worried about Puff. When everyone who's actually in that room, we're watching people who are physically worried about Puff.
Right.
We're watching people on camera that are physically, that are actually concerned for their physical well-being. Because when the camera shut off, there are things that are happening
that
we are completely unaware of.
Yep. Yeah.
I could not imagine it. Wow. Wow.
A mess.
A mess. But I am glad the judge. So this was the magistrate judge before. And now I can't remember this judge's name. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, hey, I'm going to agree with the magistrate here. No bail for you, good sir. Let's move on. Let's not complicate.
Pick a trial date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love this because it says a couple of things. One, SVU ain't real life, bro. This would have got off. Yeah. Yeah. Abbott would have been salty. Yeah.
Oh, Abbott. I was like, what?
Like, this would have happened. Surrendering a passport, $50 million bail, good to go.
Okay, so can we just really quickly talk about how they prepared a bail package that they presented?
I was going to go to my next point, which was very early when we talked about that earlier this week. I said, this Puff really thought he was a white man. He really thought he was white, rich, white, and powerful. Yeah. Sir.
I mean, if they didn't let Harv go home, sir.
Did they let Jeffrey go home?
They didn't let Jeffrey go. Oh, well, they let Jeffrey go home lots of times.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. I forgot his situation. Oh, man.
Just like they let R. Kelly go home lots of times, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you don't get to go home.
No.
You will flee. You will abscond. And for this in particular, there have been so many questionable, violent things that have happened around Sean Combs. He has ruined the lives of so many people.
Yeah.
He has stolen the livelihoods of so many people and continued to be this celebrated record mogul, media business magnate.
Yeah.
Like, capitalism is insane. Because you have to exploit people in order to win. And the more you do it, the more we're like, way to go.
Right.
He stole all of those artists. He stole their publishing. And then he went back to them right before all of this came down, which means he knew all of this was coming down.
Yeah. Yep.
He went back to all those artists with, oh, hey, guys. I'm feeling pretty nice all of a sudden. I look so generous. Oh, I just want to give you gifts. How would you like your publishing back? Yeah. Sign this NDA where you can say nothing bad about me, my mother, my family. Then list the sons like out. None of his other companies. And immediately I was like, oh, well, what's he hiding?
Imagine.
What is it that he's trying to hide?
Imagine.
And when Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane is like, hey, man, he already ran out all the money on these publishing things. Like, we're going to make no money anyway. There's no money left.
She's like, telling our story is the only money we have left to
make. That's all we got. So you cannot, I'm not
signing an NDA.
Don't sign an NDA. Said, ladies, if you hurting, I will pay you. It is. Right. Most you're going to get is $900.
Right.
$900, not
a year.
And let's. These are ladies that live in LA. That ain't getting you nowhere, you know? So I know that some of them did sign the NDA. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously not Don. Obviously not Aubrey. There may be others that didn't, but that's how they'll make the money is doing their, you know, true story and whatnot.
Yeah.
Their docuseries with one of these streaming services. But it's really this is decades long. This is decades long of abuse. This is decades long of power being abused and it being the norm, totally fine. People working to make sure that this doesn't get out or it doesn't come create a problem later. Like, same thing with R. Kelly. Same thing with Bill Cosby. Same thing with Harvey Weinstein. Jeffrey Epstein. All these people. It's the same.
I think the only... I agree.
I mean, and what I'm saying is that you have to have there are people that are helping you.
Have to.
Do this.
I think what's going to be unique about this particular situation, it's most likened to Jeffrey Epstein when you talk about the people that are also in the orbit that participated and can be tied and implicated to any of this.
Yeah.
With Puff's history in the entertainment industry, and many other industries that he's, you know, invested and flipped some cash in. There are so many people, celebrities, executives that are going to either have to come forward as witnesses or be charged.
Yep.
And the AG, when he made the statement, did a presser 2 days ago, I believe it was. He said, you know, this is a ongoing investigation, and there may be more charges coming and more witnesses. And if you have any information that can be valuable to this case, we urge you to contact us. And then he said, quickly. And when I heard the quickly, it was crystal clear to me at that point. That was a threat, fam. That was a threat. Call us before we call you. Because by the time we call you, we've already heard enough about you from everyone else that called us. So why don't you get on a good foot and just give us a ring-a-ding-ding real quick? Because they're not playing. They are not playing with Puff. This is a wrap. It's a wrap. And I am curious to see the ripple effect of this. I'm very curious to see the ripple effect of it. It's going to be interesting. Ooh. Oh boy.
Interesting is a word. I'd like one more music break.
Okay. All right.
I think the fiancés want one more music break too.
They might. You know, I know what I'm gonna do. Yeah, bring our boy in. We'll catch you after the music break. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. I'm glad that that cutty hit you like that.
So I think, Michelle, if you're still listening, what we have just figured out is that if Ambush would just play some Kid Cudi in the morning, and I mean before we get here,
okay,
the energy might just flow directly into me, and then I won't be a little half dead when I get in here.
Yeah, understood.
Because that song, I don't know, how did we all feel, you know, collectively with that Kid Cudi song?
How did it strike us all?
How did it strike you? This will be exactly, yeah, like.
Is this going to be on the quiz?
It's going to have to be now.
Okay.
Are you a Kid Cudi fan? If not, are you now? Were you unfamiliar before? Mm-hmm. Maybe you know him as just Scott Mosketti, the actor.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe.
Oh, what was that show called? The first one, HBO. Doesn't matter.
I don't know, but he was on that sci-fi show on HBO that I love so much that I can't remember the name of either.
We're doing great.
Yeah.
Really doing great.
Memories gone.
Anyway, I would, you know, let. I'm sorry that I stepped on that.
It's all right.
That was a nice jingle.
Yeah.
But fiancés, let us know. Yeah. How do you feel? Oh, here we go. We got one already. Let us know how you feel about Kid Cudi and most specifically that song. Kid Cudi brought it. And that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Brooke.
That was Brooke?
That was Brooke.
Good morning, Brooke. I just ran into the mic getting excited.
He said, and brings it always.
Thank you. This is how I know I found my second, you know, my second in charge in the coven.
Yeah.
It was so obvious from the beginning, but... But when you really start to bond over the correct people to love.
Uh-huh. I get it. Well.
Oh, nope. More. Michelle said, the music breaks give us the will to go on. It is known.
In between this harsh news, I can imagine.
The it is known just took me right back to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And how much we used to say that to each other.
It is known.
Ah! Michelle has been with us the whole time, I swear. All right.
Going back to,
I'll be quiet.
Go back to season 7 of that thing. Okay, so Portland's iconic Thompson Elk Fountain is closer to returning to its downtown location, but the project is over budget and delayed.
What?
On Wednesday, the Portland City Council unanimously approved $1.8 million to restore the Elk statue and its granite fountain base, which were damaged during the 2020 racial justice protests. City commissioners hailed the decision as a symbol of downtown Portland's recovery from the economic downturn caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and nightly demonstrations. The restoration of the Elk Fountain is an important step towards important step forward and one of healing, said Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, who was also running for mayor. The Granite Fountain, originally built in 1900 to provide fresh drinking water to animals, was removed in July 2020 after being damaged by fires during protests following the murder of George Floyd. Despite initial criticism of the bronze elk statue when it was installed, it became a beloved landmark in Portland. I wonder what the initial criticism was. The city council has now hired Cedar Mill Construction Company, based in Tualatin, to manage the fountain's restoration and reinstallation. The project will include modern upgrades such as recirculating water to save the city $240,000 annually in water costs and making the fountain seismically resilient, according to Portland Water Bureau Chief Engineer Jody Inman. Originally, the city approved $1.5 million for the project in December of 2022, with plans to finish by the end of 2024. The budget is now increased by $300,000, and the fountain's completion has been pushed to summer 2025. The delays stem from the city's search for specialized stonemason contractors and the time needed to source granite from the same Vermont mine that supplied the original fountain stone. City Commissioner Dan Ryan, who has led efforts to bring back the elk statue, expressed frustration over the delays. "Never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd be celebrating that it might be happening in 2025, Ryan said. "We must not wait another 2+ years to see the Thompson Elk return to its pedestal."
Have you heard him speak so passionately about must not have the houseless crisis, the unaffordable housing, the, like, what?
The answer is no. Mayor Wheeler acknowledges the challenges of finding niche contractors, but agreed that the statue's return would symbolize progress since the summer of 2020. "This is symbolically important to our community. And to see it destroyed really hit people hard," Wheeler said.
What?
"It's a small part of our community, but it gets at the heart of what was happening in that period of history." The Thompson
Elk Fountain. What was happening? Elk were crossing?
Well, yeah. The Thompson Elk Fountain is just one of 6 pieces of public art damaged during the protests. The 5 of the statues representing more controversial historical figures and politicians remain in storage as city council debates their fate, with a decision expected in 2026.
I thought it was supposed to be done in 2025.
Well, the decision around the other statues is it's going to be in 2026.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The more controversial statues, you know.
I'm now very interested in what
the origins of the statue.
Yeah.
I am less interested in that and more interested in what you were saying.
Well,
earlier, you know. Dan, where's all the
The reason I'm more interested in the origin is there something that needs to be restored? You know what I mean? Like, is this truly, when I hear Ted Wheeler say our community, I don't believe that he knows where he's talking about.
He does. He knows exactly what he was talking about.
I mean, what I mean is they talk about community only in moments when they're talking about property that then didn't, you know, stand the test of time. I don't know.
It's when he says our community, it's our community with the big O. Our community, the owners, like you're saying.
No, yeah.
Literally, that's his community.
Right.
Like, and that's really important to them. Because you know, like everyone is saying, this is going to signal a return. You really think so? Your community up in the hills, y'all really do feel like, well, once we get that elk back, everything's
going to really...
It's just going to reset the clock. This is really important to our community. Thank you. There's a difference between our community coming from his mouth and your community.
Yeah.
He's not talking about us at all.
I'd just like to mention that the...
to him, we are use people.
Fair. that the project was completed within a budget of $20,000 when it was done in the first place. And I'm sure that at that time, that was a boatload of cash. But the idea that we are spending $1.8 million on top of the other things that have been spent to work on this, for exactly your point of going back to a time in which that stood, I cannot understand how any of these city council people still have jobs.
There's real work to be done. And you guys are focusing on a symbolic gesture that you hope is going to do the work or convince people that the work is being done. Because now the elk's back.
Ding, ding, ding,
and look how much. So the elk is back. It's interesting because they're talking about this as if it's, I don't know, like something from Narnia. And once the elk is restored to its platform, then we're going to start seeing flowers blossoming everywhere. And riches will spring up from the ground.
Technicolor.
And where fountains... where the brooks have gone dry,
flowing.
They're going to start flowing. Like, this is what they're acting like. This is what's going to happen. You put the elk back, and all the houseless people will migrate.
No, they'll get houses.
Yes, because the elk's song, the vibration from the elk song, will chase away the ills of downtown Portland. What is wrong with you people? This is not like the never-ending story. What are we doing? What exactly are we doing?
Okay, I'm sorry to do this. I got to interrupt you just for a couple more texts from Brooke.
Good.
First, she said, and good morning. I love you too. I love you too.
Love you, bro.
$1.8 million feels like a boondoggle. One of the best words ever.
It is. It is.
And then she said, when we moved here, my husband was taken on a tour through his work and learned that the artist who made the elk statue had never seen an elk before, so its proportions are all off.
Oh my God. I can't. I can't. This is only real life. This is only real life.
Another one. Another text.
Kenneth.
Oh, from, you said Kenneth?
Yeah. Can't wait.
Can't wait for that statue to immediately get paint dumped on it. I mean.
Day two. That's going to happen on day two.
That's happening day one.
What's the over and under?
Oh, there we go. One more. There might be racist origins of Elks Lodge, which installed hundreds of elk statues historically around the U.S. Oh,
that was Robin.
Yikes. Robin, I just knew that was. I just knew there was going to be something that was like, why? Why do we have an elk in the middle of downtown?
You know what?
Because, and why is it so important to restore? Because that's not a state animal. That's not a representative of Oregon, Portland, Multnomah County. No, you know what I mean? Like, what is the significance?
You know, it's so wild.
Now we know what I'm going to do as soon as we walk away from here.
If that is the connection there, there's some racial connection to it. That's the easy way to just get this thing, just get that money saved. Get it out there.
I mean, LMAO, you think that that's what would happen? You think this city council finds out the racist origins of an elk fountain and they're like, or statue, and they're like, hold the phone. Had never known. Hands up, don't shoot, wants no parts. No way.
That's a good point.
No way. At least two of them already know the racist implications if they are there.
At least two. At least two. Guys.
And the other ones are like, well, why would we have even looked into that? I would have never known.
Mind your business, bro. What are you talking about it for? Good point. Points on the board.
Well, I'm just going to let you guys know this right now. I will be spending my afternoon reading about the origins of elk fountains all over the U.S.
Boom, boom.
And this one in specifics. And if there's things to come back to you with, I'm coming back. And I'm not going to wait. I'm going to take it to our IG. Look what I found.
Now we know.
Yeah. Wow. There's just.
Yeah.
I'm shaking my fists in anger right now.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
So many things. We are just not spending money on the things we need to. Ambush, you're going to kill me.
What happened?
I don't know how, but my laptop's about to die. Oh, you're not going to kill me. You're going to support me and help me. Wow. Look at that.
Bam.
Asking you shall receive. Thank you so much. Are you?
Yeah, I'm fully charged. I almost didn't bring the charger.
Well, you want to try and run through this fast?
Let's hit that. The Ohio Sheriff.
Yeah. Ohio Sheriff sparks outrage after urging residents to track Harris supporters. This one, you guys, just, I really want you to, really want you to hold on to it. Think about it. Let it ruminate, marinate, rumble around in your old head. An Ohio sheriff is facing widespread backlash after urging residents to keep a list of homes displaying campaign signs in support of Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz. Bruce D. Zukowski, apologies if I'm doing that wrong, the Republican sheriff of Portage County, made the alarming comments on Friday via his personal and professional Facebook pages, warning that undocumented immigrants would flood the U.S. if Harris defeated Donald Trump. I don't know if this person knows this, but she is currently the vice president.
Right.
And I know that we're talking about a flood of, but then we keep finding out that those things aren't true. And so if she's already in the Oval, do you think that it would be happening already? Okay, I'll get back to the story. In his post, Zukowski referred to Harris with a derogatory nickname and encouraged people to write down all the addresses of the people. This is a quote. I'm sorry. Quote, write down all the addresses of the people who had her yard signs in their yards. He went on to describe immigrants as illegal human locusts, because that's a thing, and claimed that the addresses would help track those, quote, who supported their arrival. Zukowski also included screenshots from Fox News stories that falsely suggested immigration policies under the Biden administration were fueling crime and destroying small towns. The post sparked concerns about voter intimidation, especially after two commenters claimed they would collect the addresses of neighbors supporting Harris. Zukowski has since limited comments on the post and has not responded to media requests for comment. The post has been criticized for inciting fear and targeting political opponents. Portage County Commissioner Tony Badalamenti, good luck, Morgan, we don't know, publicly condemned Zukowski's comments, resigning from the Republican Central Committee in protest. Wow. Quote, this is not the leadership I want to be a part of, Badalamenti said in a video, labeling the sheriff's behavior as bullying and intimidating. The ACLU of Ohio reported receiving complaints from Portage County voters, many of whom expressed feeling intimidated. Colin Morosi, Deputy Police Director for... Nope, that's not what that says. Deputy Policy Director for the ACLU of Ohio said, quote, people reached out saying they felt intimidated and may reconsider putting up their yard signs. Zukowski's remarks also drew criticism from John Barber, his Democratic challenger in the upcoming sheriff election. Aren't these like supposed to be nonpartisan?
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Positions? Confusing. Barber raised concerns that Zukowski's actions could erode public trust in law enforcement. You think? Quote, people shouldn't be afraid that when they call police, officers will check their voting record or whether they support a candidate they don't like, Barber said. Zukowski is running for re-election on November 5th, the same day as the presidential election, amid growing calls for accountability from voters and local leaders alike.
What do you think he's going to win?
I don't know enough about Portage County or this spot in Ohio. I think, you know, he's probably got some backing if his response is not to like immediately take it down, issue an apology, My man said, I'll limit the comments. I've had enough of what you have to say.
And also no comments.
And like,
yeah, he feels like he's in a good place. He feels like this is, you know, this is good campaigning. And he might be right.
And he might be right.
He might be right.
I mean, I'm sitting in a lot of places. We keep talking about just like what a police state looks like or fascism, and people like to be confused. Like, what do any of these words mean? I can't understand what you mean by fascism. Well, collecting lists of people that disagree with you politically in order to punish them later.
Yeah.
Is right there. Right in the playbook.
Yeah.
It's a part of it. And this is law enforcement, y'all. Like, we cannot be okay with the law enforcement being like, let's round them up, guys. Let's round them up. This is actually illegal, but not anymore because the illegals might come in. And I'm never going to get over it. I'm sorry. I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to get over the fact that there are people of European descent calling other people illegal who have stolen land, displaced people, genocided all over the globe for land, for power, for money, talking about illegal immigrants. Like, I'm never going to get over that.
And then their response quite often is like, hey, if this continues to go on, I'm leaving. So you're going to go immigrate somewhere. You're going to go do.
Which is absolutely my favorite.
I'm moving to Canada. You think they want you? Cool.
So now you're an immigrant. Are you okay with that?
Right. Now you believe in immigration?
It's also always the people that don't understand the actual system of immigration that are calling people illegal when really they are all legally doing exactly what they were. Not all, obviously.
Right.
But so many are legally here because they have gone through all of the processes that you are supposed to go through, and there are more steps to be done.
Right. Case in point, the Haitian population in Ohio that has come under ridiculous racist attacks. That entire community.
And threats of violence.
Yeah. Entire community is under threats of violence now. Like, bomb threats to the high school?
Bomb threats to the hospitals, schools. I mean, who are the terrorists here?
Round
them up. The immigrants or the Americans?
Round them up. Round them up.
And the police, the sheriff is saying, give me addresses so that when that mixed up lady wins and she opens all the borders.
Called her a laughing hyena.
That's right. When the laughing hyena wins, we're sending all the people she let in to those houses. The amount of I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. It's never ending.
Right.
And it's so dangerous. The people that are dealing with this, like, I don't know if anybody has seen the update, but like, there was a picture of a black man holding a goose in Ohio that was like the see they're eating the geese. That man works for the Parks. Wildlife system. Right. And that goose had been hit.
He's literally just doing his job.
He wasn't taking it home to eat it. He was getting it off the road. But even before we knew any of that, it's amazing to me that the same group of people that can see a police officer shoot an unarmed black person say, show me what happened right before that. This isn't enough context. We need to know what happened right before they pulled their gun out. Don't need to know what happened right before someone is carrying a goose down the street. They can immediately just go, oh, number there one, that black person is obviously a Haitian migrant that's illegal that is eating that thing. This also is supposedly like stemmed from a black American citizen woman going through either a mental health crisis or acute drug issue, ate a cat.
I believe it was like another city.
Oh yeah, it was like the definitely state. Not in the it was in the same state.
Oh, okay.
It was, but it was like Cleveland or something.
Okay. Right.
It wasn't Springfield. Wasn't an immigrant. It wasn't a, you know, like it was none of the things. And all it takes when you hold on to and believe in incredibly racist tropes and stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
and all it takes is seeing a little raggedy picture. You know, all it takes is hearing they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cat.
Yeah.
And then it's real. And no, then they're not going back to find out that it wasn't real.
Right.
J.D. Vance went on the Sunday shows and said, if I have to create a story in order to get you to pay attention, I will. And when pressed with, you know, you just said you made that up, right? This man was like, don't try and twist my words.
That's not what I'm saying, guys. Yeah.
When people say, why are you always saying it's about race? Because it is.
It's not because we want it to be.
I don't want it to be.
Yeah. To be clear.
But you're not getting these stories about the immigrants from Denmark. You're not getting them. And that at some point we got to be serious. That no matter what's happening individually in your life, what are the systemic things that are happening that are so much bigger than you?
Yeah.
That some of the inconveniences that happen within your individual life are not what is happening on the whole, right? It isn't, it doesn't mean that's the trend. And I'm saying this to the people that are aggrieved by nothing,
right.
That are aggrieved by things that they
that aren't happening.
That aren't happening. That's enough. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G, Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
All right. You know, the text will be updated in the episode description as well as the playlist. Thank you guys so much. We did get a final text from Rudo. Feel the rhythm of the night, fam.
Where have you been all morning? Good morning, Rudo. Love you. Have a wonderful day.
For that, don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy that employs people over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much. And we will catch you Monday night.
Bye.